So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, Liberation, 10th chapter, entitled The Pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, verse 20. Teni kapara gupater abhipatya sarve. Teni kapara gupater abhipatya sarve. Dvandvam varutam ibhapati rathashva yodhai. Dvandvam varutam ibhapati rathashva yodhai. Jagnur drumar giri gadeshu bir angadadhya. Gaknur drumar giri gadeshu bhir angadadhya sita bhimarshahata mangala ravaneshan sita bhimarshahata mangala ravaneshan. Te, all of them, anikapa, the commanders of the soldiers, Raghupate of Lord Sri Ramachandra, Abhipatya, chasing the enemy, Sarve, all of them, Dvandvam, fighting, Varutham, the soldiers of Ravana, Ibha, by elephants, Pati, by infantry. Ratha, by chariots. Ashva, by horses. Yodhai, by such warriors. Jagnu, kill them. Drumai, by throwing big trees. Giri, by peaks of mountains. Gada, by clubs. Ishubhi, by arrows. Angada adhya, all the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra, headed by Angad and others. Sita, of Mother Sita. Abhimarsha, by the anger. Hatta, had been condemned. Mangala, whose auspiciousness? Ravana Ishan, the followers or dependents of Ravana. Translation? Angada and the other commanders of the soldiers of Ramachandra faced the elephants, infantry, horses and chariots of the enemy and hurled against them big trees, mountain peaks, clubs and arrows. Thus the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana's soldiers who had lost all good fortune because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The soldiers of Lord Ramachandra recruited in the jungle were all monkeys and did not have proper equipment with which to fight the soldiers of Ravana. For Ravana's soldiers were equipped with weapons of modern warfare, whereas the monkeys could only throw stones, mountain peaks and trees. It was only Lord Ramachandra and Lakshmana who shot some arrows. But because the soldiers of Ravana were condemned by the curse of Mother Sita, the monkeys were able to kill them simply by throwing stones and trees. There are two kinds of strength, Daiva and Purushakara. Daiva refers to the strength achieved from the transcendence, and Purushakara refers to the strength organized by one's own intelligence and power. Transcendental power is always superior to the power of the materialist. depending on the mercy of the Supreme Lord, one must fight one's enemies, even though one may not be equipped with modern weapons. Therefore, Krishna instructed Arjuna, Mam anusmara yuddhya cha. Think of me and fight. That's from Bhagavad Gita. We should fight our enemy to the best of our ability, but for victory, we must depend on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Teni kaparagupatir abhipatya sarve dvandvam varutam ibhapati rathashva yodhai jagnur drumair girigadeshu bhir angadadhyah sita bhimarshahatamangala ravaneshan. Angad and the other commanders of the soldiers of Ramachandra faced the elephants, infantry, horses, and chariots of the enemy and hurled against them big trees, mountain peaks, clubs, and arrows. Thus the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana's soldiers, who had lost all good fortune because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. So on one side, we have a professional army, hardcore soldiers trained to fight and kill. And on the other side, we have a bunch of monkeys and bears. Jambavan was the leader of the bears. They may not have been just monkeys because they were Kimpurushas. Kimpurushas are combinations, something breeds between humans and other animals, in this case monkeys. Kim means what, and Purusha means a man. It's like, what? Is that a man? What's that? So, but still, they were monkeys, Vanara, and they had no weapons. So we have professional soldiers on one side, and we have monkeys on the other side. Professional soldiers armed to the teeth with weapons and, learned in warfare. And here we have monkeys who were climbing the trees and eating fruits and doing mischief. But the side of the monkeys, they were serving Lord Ramachandra, and the side of the Ravana soldiers, they incurred a curse of Mother Sita, who cursed Ravana. Now we know Ravana was kidnapping women and raping them until he kidnapped the wife. He even kidnapped the wife of Agni, Svaha. You know, he was invited to recite some mantras during the fire sacrifice, and then Agni personally appeared from the fire, and his wife Svaha, who is the flames of the fire, and she's beautiful. So he just grabbed her and went and left. And Agni was like, oh, my wife, and all the other demigods assembled there. Wait, you know, at least finish Yagya, do the Purnahuti ceremony, you know, the completion of recitation, the completion of Yagya. Oh, which Purnahuti? You know, here's a woman. But he kidnapped the wife of one of the demigods, and this demigod cursed him that if he ever tries to take a woman by force, taking sexually, raping by force, he would die. Ravana had a big ego. He was unafraid, but when he heard of this curse, he got afraid. The demigod who cursed him was either Nalakuvara or Manigriva. I'm not sure which one of them. And after that, he was careful. And that's why when he kidnapped Mother Sita, well, actually, he kidnapped Maya Sita, not Satya Sita. Agni helped there when Lakshman protected Sita in the magic circle. And then Sita stayed alone, and Ravana came masked as a sannyasi, as a mendicant, to beg alms. You know, he couldn't come inside, and she couldn't come outside to give him some food. He tried to get inside, came to the circle, and then fire came. And then when the fire came between him and Mother Sita, he couldn't see her. And Agni came from the fire, bringing Mayavati from her past life, and asking her to stand there instead of Sita, and Sita to come inside fire. And then fire disappeared, and Mayavati, or Maya Sita, looked exactly the same. So Ravana was bewildered. Sita is the internal potency of Lord Ramachandra. She's the Lakshmi Devi. And we learn from the Vedic book called Sri Garga Samhita, written by Garga Muni, the same who performed Krishna's name-giving ceremony. Garga Samhita, I think it's 8th canto. We know the story from Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna sends Uddhava to Vrindavan with the messages for all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, with the letters. And also a letter for Srimati Radharani. And she exhibits symptoms of separation from Krishna, which externally appears as sadness. So Uddhava is comforting her, and he is telling her, every time Krishna appears, you appear with him. You are never separated from Krishna. So when he comes as Krishna, you come as Krishna. When he comes as Matsya and saves the Vedas, you appear as the four Vedas. When he comes as Vamana, you come as his glories. When he comes as Nrisimhadev, you come as his pastimes. When he comes as Ramachandra, you come as Mother Sita. When he comes as Mohini Murti, you come as Mohini Murti. When he comes as Parashuram, you come as the sharpness of his axe. When he comes as Kapila Dev, you come as the understanding of his philosophical discourses. When he comes as Buddha, you come as the power to bewilder the atheists. And then he says, when he comes as Vyasadev and compiles the Vedanta, and compiles the Vedas, you come as his commentary on Vedanta. So, as per the words of Lord Chaitanya, Srimad Bhagavatam is the commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So Srimati Radharani and Srimad Bhagavatam are none different. We know from the Padma Purana, from the section called Bhagavata Mahatmya, 5 or 6 chapters, not the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, not to be confused with the Bhagavata Mahatmya from the Skanda Purana. There are 2 Bhagavata Mahatmyas, and we still don't have a proper edition in ISKCON of either one. Shame. Where are all those Sanskritists when you need them the most? You know, verse, word for word, translation, both Bhagavata Mahatmyas. We know from the Bhagavata Mahatmya, from the Padma Purana, that Krishna is none different from Srimad Bhagavatam. 12 cantos of the Bhagavatam are 12 parts of Krishna's body. And Bhagavatam is none different from Krishna, and he's none different from Radharani. So that's a small point for tomorrow's Radhashtami festival. And I'll just do a small diversion from the lecture to mention another thing that we don't celebrate. I have never heard the festival being celebrated in Krishna consciousness, especially in ISKCON, ever, and we don't have it in our calendar. Tomorrow is Radhashtami, Shukla Ashtami Titi, in the month of Bhadra. But the day after that, on Shukla Navami Titi, is the day, the first day, when Shukadeva Goswami started to recite Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit. So that comes straight day after Radhashtami. And then 7 days, we know on the seventh day, Parikshit Maharaj recites Brihad Bhagavatamrita to his mother. I forgot what. Uttara Devi, to his mother Uttara Devi, thank you. And he passes away. So that's the first day of the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam by Shukadev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit is the day after Radhashtami. We should have festival for that, 7 days long festival. for that, and we should have it in our ISKCON calendars. That's a verse from the Padma Mahatmya, from the Bhagavata Mahatmya of the Padma Purana, describing that exact date when the recitation started. So that's a small connection with tomorrow's festival, you know, from this collection of quotes from the Garga Samhita, where Sita Devi is described as the incarnation of Srimati Radharani, whereas Lord Ramachandra is the incarnation of Krishna, of course, and Lakshman being the incarnation of Balaram. So Ravana got cursed by Mother Sita, by Satya Sita, by Maya Sita, doesn't matter, Sita cursed him. And that's why he died, by the curse of a woman, although a woman who is goddess of fortune. But that's not only that. Draupadi was insulted by Duryodhana and his henchmen, and that's why the entire Kuru dynasty was destroyed. Ravana's entire dynasty was destroyed because they offended Mother Sita. So we should be careful in dealings with exalted women, Vaishnavis, and we should not insult them. Otherwise, we may be destroyed too. In this case, our spiritual lives. The basic principle of human life is manada, or respect. When there is no respect, it's not human society. So it should be especially present in the association of devotees. But respect should be there, and not lust, like in these two cases. In this case particularly. So what happened after that? You have a huge army of professional soldiers being defeated by monkeys, because the army lost their power due to the offense committed at the feet of Mother Sita. They lost their power. They could have overrun all the monkeys. They had elephants, horses, chariots, and professional, big, strong demon foot soldiers. And monkeys had rocks, boulders, mountain peaks that they broke and brought, and trees. And all of that after building a bridge across the ocean. They were building a bridge for I don't know how long. I don't remember the exact number of days or months from the Ramayana. And they are building bridge for a long time, and then after they build the bridge, they all cross it and immediately engage into a fight with a much stronger, bigger, well-equipped army, and they win. They win. You know, like the story from the Old Testament of the Bible, the David and the Goliath. You know, there was this huge military phalanxes. They were coming to defeat the city, and you know the city couldn't defend itself. They were not strong enough. So the king of the attacking army had a huge soldier, the Goliath, that was his name, and that his name crept into Western languages. Goliath means someone great. So Goliath was huge. I don't know how big he was. I don't know if Bible gives the description, but he was huge. Muscles. And the king who had Goliath said, he was puffed up. He said, anyone who wants to fight my best soldier, give me your best soldier and fight with him. And you know, if you lose, I take the city. If I lose, you take my army. Anyone? No one. And then this boy, hardly a teenager, David, who was using a sling. You know, sling? You have slings in India? You know, a piece of wood with a piece of rubber, and you put a stone and you stretch. You have it in Bengal, in Bangladesh? Yeah, slings. How do you say it in Slovene? Fracha. V hrvaščini je pračka. Frača, pračka. How do you say it in Bangla? How? Gulti. 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 So this teenage boy, I think David was 12 years old. He had gulti. Fracha. A slingshot. A slingshot. But not as we have it. Back then it was a piece of cloth. And you put stone in the middle. And you hold one end of the cloth. And you hold the other one. And then you swing it. And then you let one end go and the stone flies out. So he goes, and Goliath had an metal armor protecting his body. And he had a big sword. And David comes. And the Goliath is like, what? Everybody's laughing. And the soldiers of David's army, they're like, no, oh my God, he's going to kill him. He's going to eat him for breakfast. And he throws, and then, and Goliath was puffed up also. And one small stone goes straight in between the eyepiece. In between the eyepiece of his helmet, hits him in the forehead and knocks him unconscious on the floor. And everybody's like, what? And David comes, takes Goliath's sword, cuts his head off and lifts it like this in the air. Finished. Now, because David's side had righteousness, David was a great devotee of the Lord. So when you have Krishna behind your back, that's it. No one can stop you. That's why Srila Prabhupada conquered the world with the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Why? Because he had entire Guru Parampara and Lord Chaitanya, Panchatattva and Radha, Krishna, all the avatars behind him being wind in his sails. And no one could stop him no matter what. And I'm just reading, doing some research, and I have to read. I opened Bhaktivedanta Vedabase is opened on my computer for the past 5 days, and I have 9,662 quotes to read. And I'm reading about Mumbai, Bombay, when Srila Prabhupada was opening a temple there. And then he purchased a large plot of land to build the temple from a particular Mr. Nair. And then they signed the contract. Srila Prabhupada paid some of it. And then he paid everything. And Mr. Nair was doing some politics, pulling strings in the local government whom he knew. So devotees are thrown out and he keeps the money and the land. Oh my God. You know. He did come to meet Srila Prabhupada once during that time. But he brought his guru with him. Whomever that idiot was, because he was afraid that Srila Prabhupada may use his mystic powers on him. You know. And Srila Prabhupada was coming back to Mumbai because of this, and he stayed in Mumbai for a long time. As a matter of fact, ever since Srila Prabhupada went to America and started ISKCON, he has never spent that much time anywhere but in Mumbai. He spent more than 500 days in Mumbai altogether. And you can read about it in Giriraj Maharaj's latest book called I'll Build You a Temple. That was published just last year. 800 pages. He was working on this book for 8 or 9 years. I'll Build You a Temple. And Srila Prabhupada was fighting this Mr. Nair and his goons and his friends in the local politics. And it seemed, you know, and local government said, you will not get the permit to build a temple. You can build a bus stop. And Srila Prabhupada said, Jai, we're going to build a bus stop and we'll send busloads full of devotees with books and holy names all over the city. And then one day, devotees came running. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, have you heard, have you heard? Mr. Nair is dead. He has died in his sleep. He had a heart attack. And Srila Prabhupada leans back and he says, Jai, I've prayed to Lord Nisimhadev to kill this demon. But that was the greatest fight Srila Prabhupada had ever since he went preaching in the West. Greatest fight. And Mr. Nair, he had all the local political friends and knowledge of the politics and schemes and everything. And what did Srila Prabhupada have? Krishna. After that, Srila Prabhupada did say, you know, fighting like this is a waste of time, but we have to fight for Krishna. In the future, we shouldn't be wasting this much time on some fight. But he did fight, and he won, and it was great victory. And after Mr. Nair died, his wife came, apologizing. She signed all the papers, and that was it. So, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, know that evil can never overcome one who does good. So, ignorance cannot overcome goodness. Ignorance cannot overcome knowledge. Adharma, irreligion, cannot overcome dharma or irreligion. Dharma rakshati rakshitaha. Dharma protects those that protect it. So, if we stick to Krishna consciousness, and we have to get into any fight in this world for Krishna's sake, we will always win. Now, Arjuna could not fight all of those powerful enemies, warriors on the other side, in the Kuru's army. He was not better than Karna. He was not definitely better than grandfather Bhishma. But he had Krishna on his side. So when it finally came to, you know, all the peace negotiations were exhausted, nothing worked. Even Pandavas came to the Kurus and they said, okay, you don't have to give us our entire kingdom, which was the entire planet actually. Just give us 5 villages. 5 villages. We are supposed to rule, we're princes, kings, we protect people, 5 villages, and you can have the entire kingdom. And Duryodhana said, you're not going to get enough land to drive a needle in it. And then, you know, what to do? Even Krishna went and negotiated. Other powerful personalities, no, nothing. They wanted to keep the land that did not belong to them. They were thieves. So, war was inevitable. So, Krishna was sleeping in Dwaraka, and Duryodhana comes to ask him for his army. And the servants stop Duryodhana and they say, Krishna is in his chambers, he's sleeping. And Duryodhana pushes them away and he enters Krishna's chambers. While he's sleeping, Krishna sleeps on a big comfortable bed with a canopy, big bed. And he sits at the head of the bed, next to Krishna's head, waiting for Krishna to wake up. After that, Arjuna comes to ask Krishna to join him, and servants let him through, so he comes in the room and he sees Duryodhana, and Krishna is sleeping, and he sits at the foot of the bed, at Krishna's feet, humbly. And Krishna wakes up, opens his eyes, and he first sees Arjuna. You know, you're sleeping like this, your head is down, and you see the foot of the bed, and says, oh, Arjuna, what can I do for you? And Duryodhana says, I was here first. And Krishna says, all right, but I've seen Arjuna first. So Arjuna, what do you want? Krishna, I came to ask you to join me with your army in the war. And Krishna says, ah, all right. And Duryodhana starts foaming. He's like, and Krishna says, all right, but you can choose. You can either take my army, which was millions of soldiers, or you can take me. But I'm warning you, if you take me, I shall not fight. I can drive your chariot. And Duryodhana is like, I want the army. And Arjuna says, Krishna, I take you. And Duryodhana is like, what? No way. May I get the army? Yes, you may get the army. Yes. Didn't help him. When you lose the power due to irreligious behavior, just like Ravana and his soldiers did, well, what to do? The only one from Ravana's camp that survived was his brother Vibhishan, who told him, who was repeatedly telling him, no, return Sita, she's not yours to take. And then Vibhishan left his brother Ravana and came to Lord Ramachandra. And monkeys wanted, and other leaders of Ramachandra's army wanted to kill Vibhishan. He's a demon, he's Ravana. And he said, no, he came to surrender, I accept him. And then when all the soldiers and Ravana and his other brothers were killed, Vibhishana became the king of Lanka. And he was the righteous king. He was a devotee. The only persons who survived the battle of Kurukshetra were Krishna, 5 Pandavas, and Abhimanyu. Kritavarma, yeah, a few people. Everyone else finished and Yudhishthira becomes the king of the world. You know, it could have ended differently if Karna or Duryodhana behaved in a at least religious way, if not transcendental. At least in a religious way. You know, even today, Indians speak of Ramarajya, the Ramachandra's kingdom. There were no diseases, it was raining only at night, not during the day. Weather was always pleasant, people were dying only when they wanted to. Even today, millions of years after Lord Ramachandra was here, people in India still speak of Ramarajya, and they're missing Lord Ramachandra. Especially after 300 years ago, Babur, the Muslim ruler of most of India, destroyed Ram Mandir at the birth site of Lord Ramachandra and built a mosque, masjid, Babur Masjid, Babri Masjid, Babur, Babri, Babri Masjid. And you know, India is crying, we want Ram Janmastan, we want it back. And then when, in 1992, a few thousand people, Indians, you know, who were complaining during the Muslim rule, during the British rule, during the Indians' independence, nothing worked. And then in 1992, several thousand people, they just went crazy. They came there with picks and shovels and leveled it. They brought the deities of Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman and put them in the tent because according to Indian law, you are not allowed to move the deities. And then the fight went to the court, and just I was going to Ayodhya, when was I there, in 2017. Just 2 days before, it was the final decision in the High Court, and I'm in some office, and there are newspapers, and there is an article about it, and I read it, and they say the government sent military and police reinforcements to Ayodhya because they expect the riots are expected. And we are going there tomorrow. It's like, okay. You know, we come to Ayodhya, so many police officers, so many soldiers. Peaceful. Peaceful. No Muslim in the street. And so many sadhus with so many hairstyles and beard styles and tilak styles. I took 600 photos in 1 hour. So many beautiful sadhus in Ayodhya. Oh my God, it's like all, half of the sadhus in India came. In India, according to some calculations, 1 in 1,000 people turns to the life of a sadhu. So, when we divide 1.35 billion people in India by 1,000, how much do we get? We get 13.5 million sadhus, people who left homes and just wandering around. And they all came to Ayodhya. And in Ayodhya, people are like, oh, you know, you came here, you came here. There was Mataji in Asari, and we went to one famous big Hanuman temple, and inside there were only lady police officers. And then they forgot, you know, it's an exceptional situation, it's a dangerous situation, danger from terrorist attacks. They just run and they take selfies with her. Oh, she's white and she's Hindu, you know, she's wearing sari and tilak. Oh, selfie, selfie, selfie. So we are still waiting for justice to prevail. Satyam eva jayate, truth shall prevail. In Ayodhya, and that the land is returned to the devotees of Lord Ramachandra, because the whole India is just waiting. When decision is made, you know, within 5 minutes, you will have $1 billion to build Ram Mandir in Ayodhya. And a similar thing happened in Mayapur. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to build this big temple, Mayapur Chandra Dayamandir, the temple of the Vedic planetarium. And Bengal's government, that was communist government, didn't allow. You couldn't have much land, only small plots of land. So ISKCON had to make different foundations, and these foundations were buying the land. And ISKCON couldn't get a permit for anything, to build anything big. And finally, maybe 20 years ago, they came to the devotees in Mayapur and they said, we know you own all the land, and now we're going to crush you. We'll take all the land from you. We'll drive you away from Bengal. There's not going to be a trace left of you. And Ambarish Prabhu at that time came to India. Ambarish Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, Alfred Ford, the owner of the Ford company. And his wife is Bengali. He had an interview in the newspapers. And he said, you know, we built this big temple, millions of people will come, people from all over the world, thousands of working places, so much money for the Bengali economy. Hey, but if they don't want it, we'll go somewhere else. And the city council members in the city of Ujjain, they are reading this, and they are sending a message, come here! And the managers, the government of Orissa is reading this, and they are calling ISKCON, come here, we'll give you the land in Jagannath Puri, and you build this huge temple here. And devotees were discussing, you know, they're calling us, shall we go to Puri? I said, no, Prabhupada wanted it here, so it's going to reveal itself. And regarding Ujjain, they asked Bhakti Charu Maharaj, can you go and check? So he goes there, and within 10 months, he builds a big marble temple. Beautiful ISKCON temple in Ujjain. Ujjain is, by the way, the Avanti. The Vedic name is Avanti. That's where Sandipani Muni had his school, and that's where Krishna and Balaram attended Gurukul. But in Bengal, government was crazy. And they were really strong. They were also kidnapping people. When Srila Prabhupada was having pandals, they came there and made problems. They were threatening Srila Prabhupada to kill him. They sent him a message, fly or die. Srila Prabhupada was unafraid. And then finally in 2006, at the elections, the communist government loses. Ha ha! And the government who comes into power, they are anti-communist. And they immediately make friends. The Bengal's prime minister, Srimati Mamata Banerjee, she even came to ISKCON and she said, when you build this temple, I'll come and I'll join you. And then ISKCON got the permit, and you know, Prabhupada's desire of pure devotee got fulfilled. And where's the communist government, you know? Gone. Where are all the communist governments of this world? Well, except in China, North Korea and Cuba. Huh? And Kerala also, yeah, they are pushing. Yeah, they're making movie propaganda and everything, you know. They have photos of Marx and Engels. And I was like, why don't you come to former USSR and former Yugoslavia and we'll tell you how that worked. So, devotees are not allowed to preach in China. Devotees are not allowed to preach in North Korea. Devotees are not allowed to preach in Cuba. What to do? Which means, you know, devotees were not allowed to preach in communist Russia, and devotees were imprisoned, some devotees were killed. And there's a verse in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat where Lord Chaitanya says, I have descended to inaugurate the Sankirtan movement, I shall kill anyone who tries to stop it. So then the entire political system running the country fell into pieces. Russia, Yugoslavia. Okay, in Yugoslavia it was not that bad. But they were planning once to remove all the devotees, to kill them. So they approached a man who was an expert in esoteric stuff. Drago Plečko, you may have heard of him. Famous gentleman from Croatia who was an expert for all of these mystic, esoteric things, you know, 40 years ago. So the KOS, Kontraobaveštajna služba, you know, the secret services of the government approached him and they were asking about who are these Hare Krishnas, and he immediately understood, you know, they didn't present themselves as a secret police, but he understood who they were and why they were asking. So he just downplayed it. You know, kids impressed by India, yoga, hippie movement, America. Okay. So they left devotees alone. Otherwise, who knows if we would be sitting here if it were not for this gentleman. But satyam eva jayate, truth shall prevail. So, as long... You know, when Arjuna stepped down from his chariot on Kurukshetra, it fell apart. Krishna protected him because he was with Krishna. So as long as we are with Krishna, Krishna's Shakti, Krishna's energy, as Srila Prabhupada speaks in the second half of the purport, Krishna's two types of strength, Daiva, meaning divine, and Purushakara, manly, human. So we can have our strength, or we can rely on Krishna's strength. So if Krishna's strength is protecting us, nothing can happen to us. Sometimes it may appear that something bad happens to us and we lose, but that's Krishna just saving us from something worse. Like, I've heard a good example. A man goes to the toilet to evacuate, to poop. And he needs to use the toilet paper. Obviously he's not a devotee. So, and there's an ant sitting on the toilet paper. And the man just blows the ant away, and the ant flies away and falls on the ground. And the ant is thinking, you know, I was comfortable, warm, sitting there, and then this huge wind uproots me from my comfortable life, throws me against the hard, cold floor. Why is God doing this to me? But had the ant remained on the toilet paper, what would be his destiny? So sometimes it appears that Krishna is playing, you know, table tennis, ping pong with us. And it's like, why? Why? What did I ever do to you to treat me like this? But he has something better for us. Sometimes we get purified in the way. I've been trying since last year to earn money so I can go to India and finish the research for the books I'm writing. I had to visit temples, locations, interview people, make photos, videos, my mind is in that for the past 2 or 3 years. And I started working in my hometown, but I couldn't save much. And then I offered a well-paid job this summer, and at the end of the summer I would have enough money to go to India. But then I stopped working after a month because the boss was a bully. And I got fired, actually. And then 4 more people left. We were cooking, vegetarian hotel. And I was like, you know, why can't I make money to go to India? I'm doing it for service. And the day after I left work, one elderly lady whom I met there while I worked in the hotel, while I cooked, she contacts me and said, you know how we met and we spoke about you coming to cook to my yoga retreat in Slovenian mountains? We spoke about it, you coming next year, next summer. But our cook needs help. Could you come now? I was like, all right, better money, and I come there, and people are amazing, location is amazing, everything is amazing. And then, after 3 weeks, that was, the day before yesterday, they have to let me go, they have financial problems. And I'm like, come on! I was supposed to finish my work there and go to India for 6 months. Why? Okay, now I'm going back to Croatia, so let's... Krishna, some plan is there. I don't know which. But, you know, why this ping-pong? But the important thing is we keep our mind on Krishna and we keep being engaged in Krishna's service. And whether we get to India in 1 month or 1 year or in one lifetime or whether or not we get there, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, we want to do this service. I want to do this service. My spiritual master blessed this service more than once. And devotees whom I spoke with, senior devotees, friends, they are happy. They want to see it. Some senior devotees, ISKCON scholars, they are pushing me. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I was like, all right, but we just keep serving Krishna, doing our best, and He makes things happen. Maybe not in the way we expected. Maybe we have to get purified a little bit, suffer a little bit, maybe even more than a little bit. But the ultimate result is going to be Krishna conscious. In which way? That's something he decides. But it's on us just to keep being engaged in His service. And then we'll be protected. You know, even if we are like monkeys. Srila Prabhupada said, Lord Ramachandra conquered Lanka with his army of monkeys and I conquered the world with the army of my monkey-like disciples. But they conquered the world. They didn't know. You know, they came to India, they said, you cannot come to the temple with your shoes on. So disciples would take the shoes off, they would take the shoelaces, tie the shoes together, put them around the neck, and then enter the temple. Said, you cannot come with your shoes, with our shoes on, we took them off. They came, monkeys, conquered the world, because Krishna was behind them. Hare Krishna. Questions, comments, corrections, critiques?
I would like to ask about inner beauty, women and men, you know, it's...
Can you please speak more louder?
Louder. Can you please tell us about inner beauty? Inner beauty.
Inner beauty?
Inner beauty, like the... moral principle that is, are not visible but by eyes, but that one has inside.
Okay. Could you please just... Okay. I cannot connect it to my lecture. Can you please explain a little bit how is it connected?
Because I was listening to your lecture about this... install this itihaza and this very philosophical, you know, esoteric, that we cannot see inside, but beauty is outside, but is also internal characteristical that is inside, like invisible. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking if you can reveal, what is inside like beauty? Thank you.
All right, thank you. I still don't understand the connection. But the internal motivation...
Esoterical.
Yeah, internal motivation is, somebody say, attitude is the altitude. You know the altitude? You know, Ljubljana is at how high? Is 100 meters, 200 meters high? What's the Ljubljana's altitude above the sea level? 360 meters. 330 meters. Okay, mountaineer now. 330 meters. And Triglav is 2,464. So that's higher altitude. So attitude is the altitude. So what's our internal mood will determine how high we can get in Krishna consciousness. That's all that comes to my mind that I can tell you on this.
Okay, Hare Krishna. So the question is, in India, do you know like any place that has like a lot of good spots to check out, like a lot of temples and nice roads to go around, like
and nice sadhus? Nice roads and India. Yes. You cannot use these two in the same sentence.
Like where, maybe the question, where the most sadhus live, in what place? Like,
oh, yes. You know, you have to find holy places, but three hubs of Gaudiya Vaishnavism are Mayapur, Vrindavan and Jagannath Puri. Somehow or other, Jagannath Puri was not that exposed, but Vrindavan and Mayapur, two principal places. My heart is in Bengal, where Navadvip and Mayapur are, meaning also Bangladesh. There are so many holy places there. Good roads, you won't find there. Here and there, a little bit, but when you go to India, devotees usually go to Mayapur and Vrindavan. That's it. Sometimes Jagannath Puri. Not much. Sometimes some devotees travel outside of these three zones, but I suggest move around, see more holy places. It will stay with you for as long as you live. Go to Dwaraka, go to Badrinath, to the Himalayas, go to Jaipur and Amber and like that.
Okay, thank you.
Hare Krishna. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.